Sairam, dear listeners, welcome to yet another segment of Love to Love. I am Chandu Vijay and today we will be listening to some beautiful songs while we talk about a challenge almost everyone in the world faces, addiction. So, what is addiction and what are the things we can become addicted to? Are addictions healthy or not? How do we recognize addiction? How can we curb or rather deal with addictions? All this and more coming right up. Stay tuned.
There's a stream of love. Come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love. Come to the shore, come to the shore. There's a stream of love. Come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love. Come to the shore, come to the shore. How to begin. First you must put all of your trust in spirit. Then just wait on in. There's a stream of love. Come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love. Come to the shore, come to the shore. If you're constantly thirsty and the world leaves you unsatisfied, know that in all those places you've been seeking, there's one place you might not have tried. There's a stream of love. Come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love. Come to the shore, come to the shore. It's been said that love will cast out everything not of itself. If you will push aside take love off the shelf. There's a stream of love. Come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love. Come to the shore, come to the shore. There's a stream of love.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So what is an addiction? Well, according to Wikipedia, addiction is defined as a compulsive use of something or engagement in a certain type of behavior despite adverse consequences. Most of the time, addiction happens with physical things, like such as drinks, games, certain types of activities. Now, however, there are also subtler types of addictions that we may miss, perhaps addiction to particular types of food or places and people. Now, to simplify it, an addiction means a person feels that he cannot live without having the addiction. He does not feel complete if he doesn't do it or drink it or have it. It can be something as simple as coffee in the mornings or something more complicated like an addiction to drugs. Now let's take a look at things that causes addictive behavior. Now the most common ones are addiction to alcohol, drugs, coffee, physical intimacy, gambling, racing, gaming, television, smartphones. What else? What about the subtler addictions a person may have? Like I may be addicted to a certain genre of music perhaps, without which I feel that my day is incomplete. Someone can also be so addicted to work or something as innocent as chocolates. So now, what happens when we are addicted? You know, people with an addiction do not have control over what they're doing. Their addiction may reach a point of which it is harmful. Well, in other words, addiction may refer to a substance dependence. You know, most of the time, people believe that they cannot overcome these addictions easily. Well, the truth is, while it looks like it is terribly difficult, with proper guidance, practice, and determination, anything can be overcome with ease. Now, how can we start dealing or understanding with this addiction issue? But before we go there, let's listen to a couple of songs first, shall we? We'll be right back.
Oh,
Welcome back, dear listeners. Let us try to understand first why an addiction arises in a person. You know, when we become addicted to something, what we are actually trying to do is fill a void within us with something that is outside of us. Now, for example, when we think of a child hooked on to an iPad, what comes to our mind? Well, the child is bored. And thus, to fill the void of boredom, he keeps himself occupied with the iPad. Now, if we look deeper, beyond boredom, the underlying need is not really a need to fill boredom, but the need for attention from loved ones. You know, how often do we just hand our children gadgets when they come running to us asking for some attention in different ways? We think that they just need to be entertained. But in reality, what they are looking for is some attention and interaction. Now, when it becomes a habit, it just becomes a normal reaction for the child. So whenever the child feels bored or feels a need for attention, his mind immediately seeks the iPad. You know, similarly, a man who feels lonely or feels a lack of companionship may try to mask that need by drinking or seeking companionship in the arms of others. And soon it becomes a norm and thus becomes an automatic self-reaction for him. This in turn simply grows into an addiction. Well, so we can safely say that addiction stems from a lack of something in people. Many times, addictions come from a place of lack of self-love. You know, let us take addiction to our cell phones, for example. Before the age of smartphones, we would actually sit face to face with people and speak to them, right? Now, everyone seems to be glued to their phones, talking to their phones under the pretext of talking to people. So here a need is being fulfilled, and the need for constant companionship and communication, but in the wrong way, of course. So addictions are basically like alarms that tell us we have to look at something that is lacking, missing, or not right within ourselves first.
Thank you.
to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. Every day we are asked to see the truth of life in all reality. We know right now that we are free. That's the way of the Lord. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. Every morn when we open our eyes, life is filled with abundant surprise, just waiting for us to recognize that's the way of the Lord. Love on, serve on, listen to the call of the Lord. Love on, serve on, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. You and I are here to bring the light of God into everything. Let Him be the song we sing. That's the way of the Lord. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one. Willing to see the one. Be willing to see the one in your fellow man. Be willing to see the one in your fellow man.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So until we realize that the center of our happiness is not in outside achievements or experiences, but in ourselves, we can never be truly happy. And until then, addictions will always remain a problem for many. Now, for example, if someone desires to have a cell phone, and for some reason, if his wish didn't materialize, he feels sad. Why? That is because his center of happiness is in the cell phone and not in himself. For this reason, he may throw himself into other things that will try to fulfill his void of happiness within. Now, if you see the situation today, many people, especially youngsters, have their happiness centers scattered all over the place, especially on Facebook, Twitter, etc. They spend hours playing video games and connecting with people, collecting all sorts of information. A large part of it probably is trivial. And they do this just to get some sort of happiness out of it. Now, eventually, what happens is that they get addicted to it. In fact, there's a story I read on Radio Sai about how the South Korean government has declared internet addiction as a serious mental malady and even set up clinics and camps to address this problem. You know, there is a very sad story of a couple who got so engrossed in playing a video game that they forgot to look after their own infant. The baby actually died. So this is how serious it is. Addictions happen when we place our happiness centers outside. You know, Swami always says that what you get outside is not peace. Peace is in fact inside. Outside, we get only pieces.
Charm our sight.
She
Welcome back, dear listeners. Sometimes the most difficult of problems have the simplest of solutions. You know, Swami once told a very simple story, a Chinnakatha, which has such a powerful learning lesson. One man got into the habit of eating opium. Now, it was not possible for him to control his habit. He was always in a kind of coma. A saintly person visited his city and was offering advice and comfort to many. So the opium eater also sought the advice of the saint. So the saint warned him that his health was deteriorating and that he should give up eating opium. And at this point, the opium addict told the saint that it was not possible for him to give it up. He requested the saint to give him some more advice. So the saint asked him how much of opium he used to take every day. And the saint was shown a certain lump as the quantity which was being taken every day. So the saint, he went away and came back with a piece of chalk, which was equal in size to the lump of opium this man was taking every day, and told him that he may continue eating the opium, but should take not more than the weight of the chalk every day. Now the opium eater was quite happy, but he was also told that every day he must write Om 3 times on a blackboard with that chalk. Now in this manner, the chalk was reduced, you know, getting reduced in size every day, and so the amount of opium which the person was eating was also getting reduced, and ultimately his habit was gone. So dear listeners, the solution to an addiction is not to go cold turkey on an addiction. The first step is like the opium eater, to recognize and admit to ourselves that we have a problem, that you have an addiction to deal with, which is literally getting in the way of everything else that we do in life, directly or indirectly. And the next step is to be willing to make a change and stick to that resolve. Slowly, little by little, things will change for the better.
Your hand overlay. Sai Ram, Om Sai Ram.
Welcome back, dear listeners. A very important part of dealing with addictions is firstly to see it as something that is not here to make our lives miserable. It is also not something that tells us that we are bad people or useless. Don't beat yourself up about your addiction issues. Instead, firstly, acknowledge its presence in your lives. You know, more often than not, negative experiences help us to rise positively and much faster. So try to look at the addiction as a means to discovering your own depths of willpower and self-control. You know, be thankful that such an addiction had come into your life, for without it, it would have been difficult to identify your own issues that need to be addressed. You know, the next thing you can do after being willing to make a change is to forgive yourself and not look at yourself as useless or worthless or someone who lacks willpower. A great way to do this self-forgiveness exercise is the Ho'oponopono technique that we talked about in the last segment of Love to Love. Simply do it with yourself. Now, for those of you who are new to the show and haven't heard about this technique, Ho'oponopono is an ancient Hawaiian healing technique that helps us to see that whatever negativity or pain that we see on the outside is simply a reflection of what happens within us. It literally means to make right. So practice this with yourself instead of visualizing someone else. Visualize yourself. Speak to yourself and forgive yourself completely and without judgment. Now the four phrases that is used in this exercise is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. So sit in a quiet place, close your eyes, and then just repeat it to yourself. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. Now, to understand more about this technique, feel free to do a search online for Ho'oponopono and read more. I'm sure this will benefit everyone who uses it. Welcome back, dear listeners. Now, after acknowledging that you have a problem that needs help, do all that you can to break the barrier that you have built unknowingly around you. Now, if you have difficulty dealing with it yourself, ask for help. Now, sometimes it is as easy as informing a friend or a family member. At other times, if it is too hard to handle alone, seek professional assistance. Speak to a therapist or even join a support group who will understand the process of healing from addiction. You know, being with people who are experiencing the same will help you see and know that you are not alone. Another key thing to remember is that everything in our lives happens for a reason. Now, being in the spiritual path, as most of us are, difficulties are inevitable. The only thing is, while we view them as difficulties, in reality, they are just experiences that have been designed to help us elevate ourselves in this journey of self-discovery. So if we can recognize that any problem, even if it is not an addiction, is simply an experience put in our lives to help us rise to our divine selves, then we can easily commit to understanding and overcoming them. So let's now listen to a story, shall we? You know, some years ago, a group of people gathered at a hotel, and every night they used to speak around the fireplace after dinner. Now, one night, the stories around the fireplace took a different twist. The conversation turned serious when Mike, a young man in his 20s, confessed that he had been diagnosed with cancer. Well, while it was treatable and he stood an excellent chance of being cured, he was nonetheless distraught. A middle-aged couple, Tom and Cheryl, offered their support and understanding. Well, they had just been informed that their child needed a kidney transplant. The news had been emotionally devastating to the family. The woman tearfully explained how she had recently lost her husband to a car accident. Another person told he had just lost his job and was at his wit's end. The evening turned gut-wrenching as others began to describe horrible aspects of their normal lives. From depression and drug addiction to eating disorders and relationship problems, no one seemed immune from some sort of hardship. Now finally, an elderly gentleman, Mr. Hayes, interjected himself into the conversation. Mr. Hayes had a distinguished look about himself, and while no one knew exactly where he came from, he spoke with a gentle voice that brimmed with confidence and assuredness. During the past days, he had smiled and laughed, evidently enjoying the company, but he had not said much. People just looked at him and thought that he was a nice old man. Now, after listening to everyone's concerns and problems, Mr. Hayes looked over at the hostess and asked her if she could get a paper and a pen for everyone in the room. "Do me a favor," Mr. Hayes asked. "We're going to try something and I need your cooperation. On a small piece of paper, please write down the three biggest problems or burdens you're facing in your personal life right now. Don't sign your name. We will keep it confidential." So when everyone was done writing down their problems, Mr. Hayes asked everyone to fold their paper and place it in a small basket that was placed in front of the fireplace. There were curious looks throughout the room, but again, everyone cooperated, wondering what would happen next. So Mr. Hayes shook the basket and held it above everyone's head as he walked around in the room and asked each person to pick a paper from the basket. Now, after Mr. Hayes was done, he sat back down and looked around in the room. He said, "Friends, open the paper and just read to yourself the problems that you chose." Mr. Hayes explained, "And please, be as honest as you can." And then he glanced at the woman sitting on the left and asked, "Lisa, would you like to trade your burden that you wrote down with the one that you chose from the basket?" Now, Lisa took a quick glance at the paper that she had in her hand and said, "No." And next, Mr. Hayes asked the man sitting next to Lisa, and he asked him the same question. "Would you like to trade the problems you wrote down for those that you chose from the basket?" And even his reply was a no. Mr. Hayes went around the entire room. Everyone had a chance to respond, and remarkably, the answers were all the same. "No, no, no, no." Comments ranged from, "I can deal with my own problems, but I can't deal with what I chose out of the basket," to, "Wow, you know, like these make my problems look like nothing. Forget this, I'm not doing this." So Mr. Hayes settled back in his cushioned rocking chair and asked, "Do your problems seem so difficult now that you know what others are facing? You know, most of you wish you were in someone else's shoes, and yet, when you get a chance to trade your problems with theirs, none of you are willing. Don't you see? Tonight, you have learned by your own admissions that despite the hardships you face, and despite the worries that grind away at you and cause you to lose sleep at night, despite all that, you have come to appreciate and understand the simple fact: the problems you face are nothing compared to what others must deal with. In light of everyone else's problems, your own problems seems manageable. If nothing else, that's something to be grateful for. Sure, we like to complain and feel pain. It's our nature, and it is also therapeutic to express ourselves and get our frustrations off our chests. There is nothing wrong with that, and in fact, it can be a healthy thing to do. It helps us sort things out, and heaven knows we can always find something to complain about. But friends, The burdens that have been placed upon us are there for a reason. Because without our problems, we would not search for answers. And if we led our lives without searching for answers, we would never become better or stronger or more understanding. Because sometimes it takes a serious problem like an addiction to wake us up to what is really important in life. As an example, you will find that many of the answers you're looking for can be found by helping others facing similar problems, and that act of service is what is really important. You see, the key to your enrichment, to your happiness and peace, is to take the problems that you have and look at them as a chance to find an answer. Learn your lessons well, and then to take those lessons and answers and use them to become a better person for yourself and for others. I'm not saying you have to like the challenges you face, but no one does. But you can look at those challenges as an opportunity to do something good. For every setback you experience, there is an equal or greater blessing that accompanies it. You may not realize this, but your struggles are allowing you to become a better person each and every day. You just have to open your eyes and see it. The blessings that come from your struggles are sometimes hidden, and many times you have to look long and hard. But by finding them in due course and by counting those blessings, you will discover a secret of the ages, an undeniable truth which seemed to have escaped most of humanity. That secret is very simple. The more you count your blessings, the more blessings are bestowed upon you. If you don't believe me, just try it and see what happens. Welcome back, dear listeners. Gratitude, not just for the good things in life, but even for the difficulties, is a very powerful way of saying that everything that happens to us is simply for our highest good. When we channel this gratitude to Swami, we are acknowledging His omnipresence in our lives in the form of all the love that we receive. Now, this can be in any form, a new job or dealing with an addiction. Because underneath that addiction is His love flowing, trying to help us see what we need to work on within, so we may fully embrace our divinity. You know, Swami says, pleasure is an interval between two pains. We may have immense knowledge, wealth and valor, but you are bound to suffer if you become a slave to anger, desire and greed. Do not take pride in your wealth, physical strength and education. Develop the strength of love. Love can transform even a foe to a friend. Only through love can your life be redeemed. So dear sisters and brothers, let us try to look at addictions from a different perspective from now on. And if you know anyone who is struggling with an addiction, do your best not to judge that person. Because just because he has an addiction does not make him a bad person. It simply is a call for help, a point for self-reflection. Well, with that, dear listeners, it is almost time for me to conclude. The time in the studios is 3:17 p.m. and at 3:30 p.m. we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. And as usual, all your suggestions and comments are welcome to listener@radiosai.org. And with that, this is Chandu Vijay signing off with a prayer. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy. Until we meet next week, Jai Sai Ram.
Wake up now, my children, wherever you are. Wake up now, my children, and see who you are. It's time to wake up now, you've slept for so long. It's time to wake up now and sing me a song. It's time to wake up now and sing me your song. Sai Ram, Sai Ram. It's time to wake up now and sing me your song. A new day is dawning. All your worries, give up all your fears. That's why I've awakened you, the reason I came. Surrender your troubles and sing out my name. Surrender your troubles and sing out my name. Sai Ram, Sai Ram. Surrender your troubles and sing out my name. Open your eyes now and see the light. Open your eyes now, the end is in sight. Come now, my children, and set yourselves free. Come now, my children, and merge into me. Children and merge into me. Sai Ram, Sai Ram. Come now, my children, and merge into me. Wake up now, my children, wherever you are. Wake up now, my children, and see who you are. It's time to wake up.
to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
This is a happy love.